¡Órale!
¡Cucuy! ¡Cucuy! ¡That was the cucuy!
Don't be scared, everybody. Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. I'm Jorge Georgi Martin, and, you know, since we're only a little more than a week from Christmas, we thought we'd have Jesus with us today. So it's not the cucuy. It is buen amigo carnal Jesse Nunez. Jesse, welcome. Bienvenido, my friend.
Well, it is a glorious night to be here. I want to tell you that right now. It is glorious to no end.
Well, as you know, people who've been listening to the podcast, you guys remember, you know, Jesse's been a guest on our show a few times, and he's an avowed Charger fan. And well, Primo Ricky got called into some extra work at the hospital, so I thought I called in a pinch hitter, and I said, Jesse, we got to talk post game after this Charger Raider game. And
I am the Daryl Thomas. I am the Daryl Thomas for tonight.
Utility player, you're playing every position,
basket catch, no problem.
Even when he did the basket catches as a catcher, that was a whole different problem. But man, what a game! What a game! I mean,
I have to tell you, this was a spectacular game. If you are not a fan of the Chargers or the Raiders, you really missed out because you probably didn't watch, because you were like, okay, this is going to be a battle of mediocrity. And it turned out to be a fantastic game,
Just a wonderful game. Chargers winning 30-27 in overtime. And and it turned out to a fantastic game, though there were some mishaps here and there that you just had you thinking, ay, Dios mío, is this just another one of those games where the Chargers just are going to blow it? I mean, they had two field goals in the fourth quarter that missed.
By the way, on my fantasy team, guess who is my kicker? Said Mr. Badgley. Yeah.
Oh, well, it's no wonder that bad are the first three letters of his last name. So those are bad ones. Those are just bad.
I was screaming at the second one. Aim for the right pole, cabrón. Aim for the right pole.
And what had you screaming more, that or the sack right before?
Oh, it was the sack right before. I was thank God none of my children, they were out watching Santa Claus here in town, and thank God they weren't around, because I screamed at the television like an angry man screaming at the television. How could they call that play? How could they call that play?
And that one was
absolutely horrible.
I couldn't believe it.
I think the challenge, you know, for the Chargers, they seemingly snatch defeat out of the jaws of victory. You know, it's been this kind of season. You know, the game calls, you know, you always say, oh, it never comes down to single play, but man, with the Chargers this season, it seems like it has, man. It totally has.
So many times it's that one play, and actually, you know, it almost looked like they were going to succeed in spite of that, because they got that late interception, and Chris Harris was, it looked like he was taking it to the house, and the quarterback got him.
Well, it was a bad block by whoever, the, I think it was probably a linebacker that was out trying to throw a block. And then, you know, I will give credit where credit is due. Marcus Mariota played one hell of a game, man. Oh. One hell of a game. He seems like a nice guy and everything. And so it was great to see him succeed like that. And, you know, you never want to say that Chucky's right, but man, Chucky was right. Him and Mayock were right to go out and get him.
I mean, you know, you sat there and tell me what you're
in, you know, cause no preseason.
None of the preseason. And tell me what were some of the messages that you were getting after Derek Carr, you know, pulled up with his pulled groin.
Oh, most of my cousins, we there was a probably, I'm not kidding you, there's probably about 20 to 25 guys on. They're all cousins and cousins' kids, and they're you know, they root for a variety of teams, but obviously the biggest contingent is the Raider. Nation on there. And oh my God, they were all like, the season's over. Oh, here goes typical Raiders season. Season's over, blah, blah, blah. So I was laughing. And, you know, they were posting pictures of Mariota coming into the game. And I was like, oh, well, that does not spell confidence. But, man, you know, he did a couple of fourth down conversions that I know Derek Carr would not have made because, you know, Derek doesn't have the wheels like that. And or not even the wheels, the instincts, right, that you need when you're a runner like that. He just reminded me, you know, I'm a UCLA fan, so it reminded me of his days at Oregon where he would just destroy the Bruins, you know, running, you know, for 20, 25 yard chunks all the time. So, I mean, yeah, heck of a game. But, you know, thankfully for the Chargers, we had Justin Hebert.
Oh,
the long lost descendant of Bobby Hebert, which no one remembers.
USFL days.
Yeah, man. What was he? He was in the Saints, New Orleans.
Yeah, but he was on the New Orleans new USFL team too, and then moved over to the Saints when they folded.
Yeah. So Bobby Hebert, which was the first time I'd ever heard of the word Cajun. By the way, this is culturally it speaks to how football can introduce you to different things. You know, it was like, it's not Herbert. No, it's Hebert. Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
I thought the same thing. Yeah. And, you know, there's not too many Mexican kids come across with somebody Cajun or Hebert.
No. We, but you know, they are the Chicanos of Louisiana when you think about it, you know,
<They're> like, Cajun, Chicano, it's all the same. You know, yeah.
It's all the same. It's all kind of the same. You know, but thank God we had, what a game from Justin Herbert. I mean, I think, if this doesn't position him as rookie of the year, I don't know what will, you know, just tremendous, tremendous play. I mean, he went over 300 yards, right? Two TDs, no interceptions, you know? So I think that that's an incredible performance against a not so stout defense from the part of the Raiders. That's been a weakness, you know, obviously, you know, I felt bad for Rod Marinelli, you know, poor guy.
Oh, Dios mio, you're right.
All right, Rod, you got 3 days to get him in shape.
Oh, and let's just take half of your defense away because of injury. Okay. But you know, and then you had that quarterback sneak to win it, that 1 yard plunge to win it. But before the fumble, that fumble into the end zone where the Chargers recovered it, what memory did that bring back?
Holy Rola. One of the greatest plays in Raider history.
Unreal. I saw
it. I inadvertently, when that happened, I couldn't stop laughing because I started sending all of my "we won" memes, you know, because we recovered the football in the end zone. And then they're like, oh, they're going to bring it back. And I'm like, oops. I go, ooh, that was a little early.
That was just feeling a little
premature. But we prevailed.
That one was just
we did. But I got to tell you, you know, the certainly Justin was amazing tonight, and I have to tell you the emergence of Guyton, you know, I don't know how we pronounce, you know, him coming through like that, I thought was tremendous, and Tyron Johnson, and I think both of these guys undrafted, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe both of them were undrafted. They were talking about that.
RFAs, right? So I mean, I thought that was like, you know, from that perspective, I thought that was still tremendous. Hang on, as you can hear, my phone is still buzzing because my cousins are still texting.
Well, this is not a game.
And, here is the. I mean, here's the last from this is from my oldest cousin who leads this church. Well, good night, folks. I just had to swallow a bitter pill. Fortunately, I followed up with a Patron tequila chaser. So there's that. Figure I'll hit the sack early tonight. Maybe a good breakfast in the morning will provide a new outlook. Maybe a morning walk. And then another cousin followed up with, and a wish for a new season. So it's always nice when they can experience that. But back to the receiving core, tremendous. I know Keenan Allen was hurt, and boy, these guys, the two of them stepped up. They went for 150 combined, over 150 yards, the two of them. I mean, it's tremendous. I mean, I thought, I don't know who has them on fantasy, but you know, certainly, they did a great job. I think that it goes well. But I was going to say is that aside from that, I think the game ball, at least the Charger game ball, has to go to Trayvon Mullen, who single-handedly gave a lesson in what not to do in the secondary. It was quite amazing display on his part.
I know they always say you're going to see something you never saw before. I don't think I ever saw before two penalties on a single play. And then, Mike Pereira pointed out that you can actually get pass interference and a face mask penalty on the same play. And that's, so he got actually double penalized on that one. And that led to a score.
That's a two for you. I don't ever think I've ever seen that in my life. And so I thought that's pretty amazing. Yeah,
especially going back.
I think it turned into, he blew coverage, allowed touchdowns. I mean, he was just fantastic for the Chargers.
just wonderful.
But again, if I'm the Raiders, man, you know, if I don't, you know, it's always easy to Monday morning quarterback, but damn, if I'm the Raiders, you start building your line around a guy like Mariota and focus more on the run. You already got Josh Jacobs. Devontae Booker was picking up 4 yards a chunk. He wasn't, you know, so I mean, they've got some guys out there, and maybe that's where you play some smash mouth football, and you have Darren Waller out there and Aguilar. So you've got, competent guys, who you can throw the ball to. Hunter Renfrow, though. Wow. That was ugly. Oof,
oh, that was a blow. That one was scary.
And I think So, and hopefully he's okay, but the one thing I did, the one thing that did make me laugh was when Theo Riddick came in the game, he got a carry, and I thought to myself, Theo Riddick still playing? I'm like, so then, the rabbit hole was for me was, how old is Theo Riddick? How long has he been playing?
And then you're sitting there thinking, did I have him? Did I ever have him on fantasy?
Exactly. And you know what? So then I was started thinking, I go, God almighty, how old is he? And then I remembered it was not a Theo Riddick who I was thinking about. I was thinking about Lewis Riddick.
Yeah, you're sitting there, you're like, yeah, Lewis Riddick, he played three nights ago on Monday Night Football as the announcer.
Right. That's all I could think about. I was like, wait a minute. So it was like a rabbit hole for like 4 minutes of me going, oh, wait, no, I'm thinking of Lewis. Okay. So anyway, so there was some comedy there for sure.
That's unbelievable. Well, I will tell you, it was kind of it wasn't comedy, but I was crying a little bit watching Darren Waller go for 9 receptions and 150 yards and a touchdown, because I'm going up against him this week on Lexington Steelers. Jordan and Sean have him. So Travis Kelce, you got to answer back for us. So please answer.
Well, playoff hopes were dashed last week. So we're playing simply for what Yahoo says is the 11th game. So that doesn't bode well. But nevertheless, to finish up on the Oakland Raiders thing, I think if they go in, I mean, they rushed for 173 yards.
Yeah.
Dude, I see that as, man, you know, you can, and I, Mariota was super efficient, and he got the ball, you know, what did he go for? Over 200 yards, right?
226. So, yeah.
You know, yeah. So, I mean, he got it up there. That one interception, you know, that was, I think the receiver ran the wrong route because he threw it right to a very specific point. But nevertheless, I think, you know, the Raiders have a lot of money invested in Derek Carr, but damn, if they didn't look good, you know, smashing the ball up there, you know, if they get another back who can catch the ball out of the backfield, you know, Mariota was lobbing little passes here and there, Duncan and Diamond, and man, you could, you know, you can have yourselves a, what did they run the first in the overtime, you know, why they didn't go for it with 2 yards to go.
I thought that was the same thing. Yeah.
That was a total gift. And because they were running the ball hard and, you know, you could slip Mariota out to the side. There was so many options and they did so well on fourth down previous to this. So I don't know why, you know, they went for it. They didn't go for it. I was, you know, but again, as a Charger fan, I'm like, well, okay, well, thank you.
And I, you know, and it's kind of, and oh, one of the things, I mean, we were one, let's get back to the Chargers for real quick. I was very happy that a friend reached out to me and he said, hey, I need help with figuring out a tight end because he's in the semifinals in his league. And he was picking between three tight ends. One of them was Hunter Henry. The other one was Irv Smith with Minnesota. And the third one was Jared Cook. And I could tell that he was leaning toward Irv Smith. And I said, look, Hunter Henry, you got to play Hunter Henry. He is the only one of those guys who consistently is going to get 7 to 10 targets.
So he picked up 11 and a half on the receiving and the yards and then the touchdown.
Yep.
So he went for what, 17?
And he almost got another touchdown. So almost fell. Yeah. So I felt good. Felt good on that one.
Yeah, I did not get the same output from Mr. Badgley, my kicker. I did not. I just think about that. I mean, what was the other one? 40 was the other one? 43, the first one?
47 and then 51.
47. So it would have been over 45 on both of those. What would I have gotten in points? I'm trying to remember. Would I have gotten 3 on each of those kicks?
You would have gotten 4 no. on one, 4 on one, four. 5 on the 50 yarder.
Yeah. Yeah. Damn. Oh. Yeah.
Eso duele.
Imagine a rolling up with a kicker. Who did I have? Oh, because last year I had the greatest kicker. I used to be able to great the greatest kicker in the NFL. Tell everyone who my favorite kicker is.
Justin Tucker.
I have the pleasure of scoring over 200 points one season, 220 something points with partly because Justin scored like 17 or 18 points for me. It was some ungodly number. It was fantastic. It was the defense and score. Everybody was one of those games.
Yeah, that was
I distinctly remember.
That was the year you picked him in the seventh round.
Yeah, when everybody was still looking at me like I was from Mars. Right?
Like, what? And Steph almost your partner Steph almost disowned you at that point.
Oh, no. That was before Steph was on my co-manager. Oh. And then the following year, I tried to pick him up in the fifth round, and he thought I was crazy. So he wouldn't let me do it. So I was like, okay.
So, yeah. Oh, but I tell you, I mean, this was good. This was classic Raiders, Chargers. I mean, just going back to, you know, we talked about that. You talked about the Holy Roller going back to, I mean, even almost to the 60s. I mean, the game was the game, the over under. It covered the over under, so I mean, it gave you everything that you wanted.
Yeah, most people had it at 50. Yeah. Most people had it between 40 and 50, as I saw, you know, on the pregame, they were in that middle. I don't think anybody had it over 50. You know,
Yahoo Sportsbook had it 51.5. So, but yeah, I mean, a lot of people had it around 50, 50.5. So, just a hell of a game.
It was entertaining, you know. You had a great mix of it wasn't you know, the tempo from both teams was really good. You know, I'm telling you, it has everything you want in a sports game, right? Your lead, you get to take pride in a lead, and then you get to worry, you get mad about calls, and then you're sweating it out, and you know, it had everything. It was
perfection.
Great. You know, I'm sure the Raider fans were all on pins and needles when Mr. Bad, that's all I'm just gonna refer to him now, is just Mr. Bad, lined up for that kick. You know, I thought for sure, you know, and then when the Raiders were marching down and then we get the interception, I thought, oh, here we go. It's going to, and no. So I think it had both sides on pins and needles, and you know, it was a great game. Yeah. Great game.
Fantastic. We'll cut it short on Thursday Night Football recap. Hey, give us a quick update on Pop Fly. You've had some action. It looks like it's been fun.
Oh, we're doing really, really well. We've been doing really, really well. We appreciate people subscribing. That's been a great thing to see. We continue to have a great threshold number on that. We are what they call I won't get into the technical stuff, but the goals that we set out, we've exceeded them. So we're very, very happy about that. We've got, oh my God, there's like 8 or 9 more apps coming out for different things. Our boxing, our first boxing app is coming out. Our first fitness app is coming out, and we're working on our first MMA app. You know, it's been, we think it's going to resonate, like we've said, you know, with a lot of people, with a lot of athletes, you know, and again, a lot of these guys, if I look up and down the roster on these football teams, you know, these guys are only going to be playing for 4 years, maybe, right? That's the average. And most of them are not going to make a ton of money. And yet here's an opportunity for you to use this platform that you have right now. And we give you an opportunity to create your own brand and help you create your own brand and move forward, you know, so it's exciting. I'll have to come back when we have some of the, you know, the apps up, you know, that are coming out, but I don't want to do any spoilers, but there are some names that well-known names that people know. So it's going to be exciting. And again, the app is for those folks. The app is for the folks that are barely, you know, making a roster and are, you know, trying to stay awake. It's for everybody, you know? And so it's one of the things that we hopefully can help. Our idea here is to be on the side of players, you know, to be on the side of those athletes and go from there.
Oh, that's fantastic. Hey, you know what? We're always, you know, we've got to spend some time with the players, and we're always on the players' side. Hey, go get what you can, because it's a short window compared to the whole rest of the life. Yeah. That is.
So, yeah, for sure.
Oh, for man. Sure. Well, mi buen amigo, I'm going to jump into the rest of the show, but como siempre, you're always welcome. Hey, you know what? We're going to be year round. So we're going to be there's going to be plenty more appearances. So this is going to be fun.
I have to come back when the primos are all alive and well, and we can talk all kinds of crap.
Oh man, with some tequila and some beer going on. Oh,
that would not be a problem. So, that would not be a problem.
Well, we're going to get into some cheese men next. But gracias otra vez, Jesse. So leading us off in cheese men, we got some pretty big news from Adam Schefter. The man himself has let us know that, well, Drew Brees is planning to start on Sunday. So that just ups the ante for the game that we're going to talk about in a few minutes, KC at New Orleans. I think it really improves Alvin Kamara's outlook. It only makes Michael Thomas look better if he can go. And it just, I mean, it just makes that such a more delicious game. I mean, just fantastico. And it's potentially a Super Bowl preview. So we're going to talk about that one in a little bit. Matthew Stafford not practicing. This is Friday morning. I'm recording this, but this section of the show, and if I were to guess, he's not playing on Sunday. Just the fact that you look at someone of his stature with that long term of contract and with the Lions kind of in flux, I just don't think it's a smart decision from an organizational standpoint to play with a franchise player, even if you're looking to trade him, because you don't want to injure an asset like that. So
I would make plans for Chase Daniel, but that's another game. We'll talk about it soon. James Conner did not practice on Thursday. So in his return from COVID last week, you know, he didn't look like himself. And I watched this game closely because I have Conner on a couple of teams, and I really need him to produce at this point, because don't we all, he's in the playoffs. But I'm wondering if that quad injury, if you have Conner, hopefully you have Benny Snell. He's a possibility. The Bengals have had their trouble on defense this season. This is a home game for the Bengals, so you never know. They might come up. But the fact is that, it's not looking good for Conner. We haven't gotten a practice report for Friday yet. Definitely be on the lookout for that. But be ready to make other plans with Conner. Another guy that you're looking to make other plans with, Antonio Gibson. They talked about him working on the side at Thursday's practice. So it's more than likely that it just really was did not practice, DNP. But you just these kind of injuries take about a month to heal at best, and they could take longer. I still remember Deion Sanders saying that turf toe was like getting hit with a hammer on the toe every time you take a step. You don't think about that, but it's an area that takes a long time to heal. So you're looking to make other plans with JD McKissick, Peyton Barber, one of those guys. I have to make that decision too, on the same team that also has James Conner. So you got to love that. Hey, I'm very happy about that one. Last bit of chisme, we got on the defensive side, James Bradbury. He's on the reserve COVID-19 list, which he's been one of the highest rated cornerbacks for Pro Football Focus this season. So I think that's something that's really big for Jarvis Landry, possibly for Rashard Higgins, and definitely for Baker Mayfield. I mean, for the Sunday Night Football, we'll talk about this game in a little bit, but really it's looking positive for them. All right, let's finish up our previews 2.0 version, and we're starting off in New England, where the 6-7 Patriots are at Miami 8-5. The Dolphins are 2.5-point favorite, and it's a 41.5-point over and under. So that's really low. And I always want to point out the fact that whenever New England plays in Miami latter part of the season, weird things seem to happen. New England, whenever it looks like they're supposed to win, they lose. It wasn't last year because they played in Miami early in the season, but 2 years ago, that was the game where there was the multilateral Kenyon Drake game, Kenyon Drake taking a walk-off kickoff return that won the game for the Dolphins and actually cost the Patriots a home field advantage during the playoffs. But so weird things happen, and it's kind of weird things are happening for the Dolphins because they've still got Myles Gaskin out, still expected to be out on COVID IR. Matt Breida came back from the COVID, is back from the COVID IR. But really, this is looking like DeAndre Washington is going to be the main running back. He got 13 carries for 35 yards last week, so not the greatest one. So is this going to be more of a throwing game? Well, Tua Tagovailoa had one of his better games this season, possibly his best game, where he threw for 316 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a pick. Who's he going to throw it to? Devontae Parker, hamstring issue, he's been limited at practice. Mike Gesicki, dislocated shoulder, also limited at practice, which I'm actually shocked that he got in any practice time, because a separated shoulder usually means bad things. But so who's he going to throw to? Hey, you know what? One of the great possibilities, and he could be someone that we highlighted on the waiver wire column earlier this week, Lynn Bowden Jr. He had 9 targets and caught 7 of them for 82 yards. So something to look at. Over on the New England side, Julian Edelman is a possibility to come back, but honestly, are you trusting him in the fantasy playoffs? Maybe he's a cheap play in DFS, but you're really not trusting him. I can't see trusting Cam Newton either. He's 119 yards. It just hasn't been happening for him. It's too bad, because he's been one of my favorite players for a while. Damian Harris is a possibility to play. He's the early down back for them. He got 50 yards on 11 carries last week, so definite possibility there. But when you look at it, the Dolphins, I mean, they've just been solid against on defense. The quarterbacks, they're number 4. They're number 7 against running backs. So it's going to be tough sledding for the Patriots. Let's go to Minnesota, where the Chicago Bears at 6-7 are at the Vikings, also six and seven. The Vikings are a 3.5-point favorite and a 47.5-point over-under. So is the Mitchell Trubisky resurrection continuing? I mean, he's just been nothing short of fantastic the last couple weeks. Last week, he was 24-33 for 267 yards, three touchdowns, added another 23 yards on the ground. He made Allen Robinson one of the top receivers of the week, nine catches for 123 yards and a touchdown. He's a wide receiver seven on the season and number three in targets at 128. He is going to get fed a lot because the Vikings are number 23 against wide receivers over the last 4 weeks. All these defensive stats that I'm going to give are going to be primarily over the last 4 weeks to give kind of a truer meaning of them. Darnell Mooney is a possibility. He only had two targets last week, not last week, in the Week 10 game against the Vikings. So, but he could be someone that gets loose in the game. Another one that has been getting a lot of love lately, underrated love, is Cole Kmet. He's got 14 targets in the last two games. He had 41 yards last week. He's been a cheap play on DFS the last few weeks and paid off. The one who's really paid off is David Montgomery. He's the RB2 over the last 3 weeks, and the behind only Derrick Henry. I mean, that just tells you what kind of rarefied air he is in. He had 153 total yards last week and a touchdown. The Vikings are 25th against the running back thus far this season. I mean, these last 4 weeks. So you want to have David Montgomery in your lineup. As crazy as it sounds, I mean, he may be a league winner. I've got him on a league where he's potentially going to send me to the finals. So you never know. Over on the Minnesota side, you know, earlier in the season, it would have been the talk would have been to not trust quarterbacks against the Bears, who've been one of the best defenses. I still remember seeing them carve up Tom Brady, but they've been very much more mortal lately. So maybe Kirk Cousins at home is going to be a play. The Bears are 29th against quarterbacks and 27th against receivers. So fire up Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen. I mean, both those players have just been, you know, last week kind of pedestrian games. Again, they were going up against a better defense in Tampa Bay, kind of more rejuvenated and they're coming off a bye, but the Bears have just been getting, you know, giving up the points lately. Dalvin Cook, he is an expensive play on DFS, but again, the Bears have just not been great, number 16. And even Irv Smith, with Kyle Rudolph still a question mark, the Bears are number 30 against the tight end. So Irv Smith is someone who's a potential play. You want to see more targets. He only had four targets last week. So, but kind of hard to expect him to get any more of those, playing behind Thielen, Jefferson, and possibly even Cook getting some targets. Let's go down to D.C., where the Seahawks, who play in Washington State, now go to Washington, D.C. Seahawks are 9-4. The Washington football team is 6-7. I didn't say it. Seahawks are 5-point road favorites at 44.5-point over under. Big question mark is Alex Smith. He's had the calf injury that is on his right leg, which is the leg that received 17 surgeries when he suffered the compound fracture. So is he going to go? He's not going to be a world beater, but again, this is the Seahawks, who have been one of the worst defenses on the season against the pass. They've been better lately. They're actually number one against wide receivers, but you know, you want to look at you're maybe for this week fading Alex Smith. You're definitely fading Alex Smith because you're not playing him in your finals, but Terry McLaurin is a possibility. If you've got another flex option, maybe he's someone you go with because of the fact that he's number one, he's been battling those injuries, and the fact that the Seahawks have been better on defense. Logan Thomas is a possibility for the Washington football team. He's been catching, he's consistently been getting targets. The Seahawks are number 24 against tight ends, so Thomas is a good possibility, a good play, cheap play in DFS, or if you're chasing or if you've been streaming tight ends and you don't have Kelce, Waller, or Mark Andrews, he's a possibility. Over on the Seattle side, Russell Wilson broke out of his slump. Four TDs and 206 yards last week against the Jets. You know, that was the game where, you know, the game script, they just pulled their starters out after about three quarters, and that was it. Looking at this game, though, the Seahawks have been a little bit leaky on the offensive line, and that Washington defensive front has been, if it's not the best one in the league, it's one of the best. I mean, led by Chase Young, that just, he's just a game wrecker by himself. So Russell Wilson, you know, we know that he's great making plays with his legs, looking like he's running for his life, but he's, you know, maybe it'll be a little bit tough going for him. One guy that I really like, though, is DK Metcalf. He's expensive on DraftKings, $8,600. Last week, he did get six catches for 61 yards and a touchdown, but I was looking at the defensive back matchups, and he's got 4 inches and at least 30 pounds on the two primary defensive backs that are going to be going up against them. You got that, you know, combined with his game-breaking speed. I think this is going to be a big game for DK Metcalf, as long as they give Russell Wilson enough time to throw to him. Chris Carson, I think it's going to be a tough game for him. The Washington football team is tough against the run. They're number two against running backs, so wouldn't count on a lot of space for him. Over, we talked a little bit about Antonio Gibson, you know, whether it's Peyton Barber or J.D. McKissick. The interesting part was McKissick ran almost as many times last time as Peyton Barber, and he got 4 targets. So, you know, how is the running back share going to go? Hard to kind of know on that one. Again, I mentioned, I've got to make that decision with Peyton Barber as one of my options for my RB2 on one of my main teams. So looking like it's going to be a tough one. It's going to be tough to start him, just considering the fact that Seattle has been better against defense, especially on the run. They've been good on the run most of the season, better as a whole defense lately. They're 19th against running backs lately, but in the last 4 weeks. But I just don't see either of these guys really breaking free. All right, let's go over to Baltimore, home of the crab cakes, where the 8-5, I was going to say Orioles, 8-5 Ravens, they host the 1-12 Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, interesting bit of information that I found out this week on the Rich Eisen show, thanks to Kyle Brandt. If Jacksonville and the Jets finish tied for the worst record, the Jaguars actually get the first pick because of the fact that they would have the strength of schedule would be less than the Jets. So not much incentive for the Jaguars to keep winning, and it's going to be tough for them to win this week. And they're 13.5 point underdogs, and it's a 47.5 point over under. And really, Lamar Jackson has seemed to found that magic from last year. I mean, that Monday Night Football was nothing short of spectacular. Gosh, he emptied the tank in that game. I mean, 124 yards, 2 touchdowns rushing on just 9 carries. You know, he threw for 163 yards and 1 more touchdown. You know, obviously he had that dramatic Kirk Gibson moment where running out of the runway, he came in to throw the touchdown pass to Marquise Hollywood Brown on 4th down when McSorley got hurt. So I don't think there's going to be a need for heroics on this one because they're big favorites, and I think they're going to put up a big number. It's going to be tough for them to do it because there's a good possibility that Marquise Hollywood Brown is going to be out. He's on the COVID IR. No word on whether he's a close contact or if he is actually going to be if actually tested positive. We're going to find out. Keep an eye on Saturday morning to see if he is taken off the IR and activated for the lineup. So we're going to see. I think this is going to be a big game for J.K. Dobbins. The Jaguars are number 32 against running backs. You know, he's been taking the lead role last time that, you know, Mark Ingram had 0 carries. Gus Edwards had 7 carries. I think this is going to be a really nice game. I think they're going to run a lot. It's going to be a lot for Dobbins, a little bit less for Edwards. They're just going to dominate the game. This is going to be December football in the AFC for the AFC North. And I will say with Marquise Brown out, there could be extra emphasis on Mark Andrews. You know, he's back to getting more balls. He got 5 receptions for 78 yards on Monday Night Football. So I would definitely look for him to get an increase in targets with Hollywood out. Over on the Jacksonville side, you know, James Robinson is still a good play. The Ravens are number 27 against running backs. I mean, they definitely got gashed by Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt on Monday Night Football. So you want to make sure you're not fading Robinson in this game, because the Ravens are not that scary. Gardner Minshew back in the starting lineup, the mustache, the jorts, you got to love it. Hopefully that means better things for DJ Chark, because he got 9 targets last week, but only 2 receptions for 16 yards. So you got to figure. You're hoping for better times ahead for him. I think these guys are going to be throwing a lot. There could be some sneaky possibilities here on the DFS side for some cheap plays from either Keelan Cole or Laviska Shenault. Both of them, Cole got 12 targets last time, while Shenault had 11. So and the Ravens surprisingly are 28th against wide receivers over the last month. So definitely this. If Jacksonville is going to do anything. I don't think they cover, but maybe they're going to put some points up on the board. Over in SoFi Stadium on Sunday, it's going to be the 9-4 Rams hosting the 0-13 Jets. Well, we have already talked about how much the Jets have to play for, and it's going to be tough. The Rams are 17-point favorites, a 43.5-point over-under, and the more I look at this game, Jared Goff has been someone who's been very frustrating because of his inconsistency, because you don't know which game he's gonna go off. People did not expect him to do much of anything against the Buccaneers, and he has probably his best game of the season where he was just throwing in rhythm and everything like this. I think this is a game like that, because of the fact that the Jets, for as almost historically bad as they are, they're number 4 against foreign running backs in the last month. So, that could mean tough times for Cam Akers, a little less room to run. But I think, honestly, I think it's going to be a play action game. A lot of throwing those short balls to Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp. Both of them have just extremely favorable matchups. Cooper Kupp has an undrafted free agent, Javelin Guidry, who's going to be guarding him. I can just see them being peppered, just left and right with short shots. Both of them, I think, are likely going to go over 10 targets. Very similar to that Tampa Bay game where they're just going to be throwing a lot in rhythm. Maybe Robert Woods gets some jet sweeps in there. I think that's a good possibility. A couple of dart throws for you: Tyler Higbee, Gerald Everett. The Jets are number 32 against the tight end. The Higbee and Everett have been kind of equal as far as targets and snaps lately. So, if you need a dart throw, either for the fantasy playoffs or in daily fantasy, these are two good possibilities. Akers, you definitely want to. You're not sitting him. The fact is, the Rams have an excellent offensive line, so maybe they're going to break open some holes. But you're not going to. I'm not expecting another 29 carries for 171 yards on this one. On the Jets side, I'm sorry, Sam Darnold, you're coming home, coming back to SoCal. Not too far from USC, but you're going up against one of the top defenses in the game. They're the number over the season. They're the number one defense against the wide receivers, and they're just fantastic against the passing game. Jalen Ramsey's just been a stud back there, and then Darnold's got to look Aaron Donald. So I'm just not expecting much of anything from the Jets. It's just, a great defense. They're at home. The Jets have just been just horrible on offense of late. I hate to say it. I'm just fading everything. There's just, I don't think there's anything to play on this team. So I'm going to go to a game that's going to be very interesting. The Philadelphia Eagles, 4-8-1 at Arizona, 7-6. The Cardinals are 6.5-point favorites and a 49.5-point over-under. Jalen Hurts had the coming out party last week. It was wonderful. 273 total yards, 106 yards on the ground on 18 carries. He looked at times like kind of like they were trying to mimic Lamar Jackson out there. And the great thing for him this week is Arizona is number 6 in the most rushing yards allowed to quarterbacks from weeks 11 to 14. So this is, he could have some room to run. The other thing, Miles Sanders also broke out last week with the 82-yard touchdown against the Saints, had 136 total yards on the day. The Cardinals are number 26 against fantasy running backs. There's a great possibility there for him to have another big game in a game that really, I think it's going to go past the 49.5 point over under because both defenses have been struggling a little bit against the quarterback. And both these quarterbacks are going to be doing it with the feet as well as the definitely as well as the arms. Hurts looked for Dallas Goedert last week. He threw him 6 times, and it was for 43 yards. The receivers, there was just not a lot of action. Alshon Jeffrey caught his only ball for a touchdown. Jalen Reagor got only 4 targets. Hurts did not throw that much. He did not seem to concentrate on one target. But I just look at the fact that young quarterbacks seem to target the tight ends and the running backs early, and I think that's what's going to be happening here because Arizona is also with Patrick Peterson and company. They have been very good against fantasy wide receivers of late. Over on the Arizona side, you're playing Kyler Murray. He started to run a little bit more last week. He also threw for 244 yards and a touchdown. DeAndre Hopkins is a great play this week because Darius Slay has been battling concussion as well. He has not been 100% cleared to play for this game yet. And the fact that he's also, been dealing with some injuries of late, DeAndre Hopkins, I'm firing him up. I'm even looking at a stack of Kyler Murray and Hopkins for this week to play. And Kenyon Drake, you're playing him also because the Eagles are number 24 against running backs. So this is going to be a sneaky play because also Arizona has been the Eagles are number 18 against in yards per carry against yards per game allowed to the quarterback in the last 4 weeks. But the fact is, I looked at who they faced in the last month. They haven't faced anyone like Kyler Murray. So this is going to be a game where I think it's going to be a showcase of two dual threat quarterbacks having a lot of fun out there. So this is going to be a good game. Probably the game of the weekend is going to be the 12-1 Kansas City Chiefs at New Orleans Saints, 10-3. Kansas City is a 3-point favorite and a 51.5 point over under. This is just going to be the unstoppable force against the immovable object. I'm throwing out that New Orleans game last week in Philadelphia. It was in Philly. It was in cold temperatures. The dome teams don't seem to travel well when the temperatures get down around the freezing level. This is not going to be the case. This is going to be in the Superdome. The Saints are going to be fired up. It's going to be the first game for Drew Brees since November 15th. Now that, thank you, Adam Schefter, for announcing it. I think this is going to be a wonderful game. I'm going to start off with the Saints. I think this is going to be rejuvenating for Alvin Kamara. He did get 7 targets last week, and he got 10 targets, 7 receptions for 44 yards. He is a steal on DFS. He's at 7,400 right now. I'm looking at him when he's $2,000 cheaper than Derrick Henry, and you add in the receiving possibilities. I think this is going to be a game where both teams are going to be running up and down the field and going to be great. I think this is a sneaky game for Latavius Murray, who had 124 yards rushing 2 weeks in week 12. You're definitely playing Michael Thomas. He's back. He caught all 8 of his targets last week. He's got 37 targets in his last 4 games, and he's got 200 yard games in that time, so you're playing him. Jared Cook is also a sneaky play. The Kansas City Chiefs are number 31 against fantasy tight ends, so you're definitely looking at playing him. Over on the KC side, the very fun part about them is that they've become a lot more concentrated in their offense and who Patrick Mahomes is looking for. And who he's looking for is Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Hill has one of the most favorable matchups according to Pro Football Focus. He's the Saints love to go man-to-man defense, and who's going to stick take this guy on man-to-man defense. Tyreek Hill is the cheetah. He is going to be flying all over the field. I mean, he got a jet sweep last week for a 32-yard touchdown. He's going to be peppered with targets. And it's going to be what I think is going to be very intriguing is the fact that Travis Kelce, who has just been a beast this year, 1,250 yards. He's leading the entire NFL, and I did a little looking back. He would be the first tight end during the Super Bowl era to lead the NFL in yards receiving if he keeps up at this pace. It's going to be tough for him this week because the fact that the Saints have been number one. They did get torched by Darren Waller earlier in the season, so I'm expecting that the Chiefs looked at that tape and they're going to be attacking the Saints in that manner. I still think Mahomes is going to be concentrating his efforts on Hill and Kelce. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be, I don't know how much room he's going to have to run because the Saints have been one of the top rushing defenses in the NFL over the last month. They've been number five, and I think a lot of that is because they gave up a lot of runs, a lot of yards to Miles Sanders last week. I don't think it happens this week for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. It's just the Saints last week, it was the first time they allowed a 100-yard rusher in 55 games. New streak starts this week. But this is going to be a great game. Just wonderful to have this in the latter part of the Sunday. Let's close out with Sunday Night Football. We got the Cleveland Browns 9-4 at New York Giants 5-8. It's going to be the Browns are a 4-point road favorites and a 44.5-point over under. We talked about James Bradbury injuries, so not injury, his placement on the COVID IR, and that is going to really impact. I think that's going to have a big impact on the Cleveland passing game. I think it's Baker Mayfield, he's had back to back 300-yard games. He's been very, very high. I think there's going to be a lot of possibilities for him to be throwing to Rashard Higgins and Jarvis Landry. Maybe even Austin Hooper makes an appearance in there. The Giants are number 13 defending the tight end, so there's some possibilities there. But also, I think this is a big game. This is going to be great possibilities where the Browns look to establish the run with Nick Chubb, with Kareem Hunt, who had a great all-around game. He had 77 yards receiving on catching six of seven targets, so he is a possibility there. I think it's a rough game for the Giants on the offensive side of the ball because Daniel Jones, we definitely saw how limited he looked in when running the ball, and I mean it just the hamstring injuries, they probably rushed him back. He only threw for 127 yards. I think we're going to see Colt McCoy in this one. We still don't know for sure, but the one thing I do expect, I think we're going to see a healthy dose of Wayne Gallman. The Browns just got run all over. I mean, that was just a classic football game on Monday Night Football with just a lot of running. The Browns are 23 against fantasy running backs over the last month, so Wayne Gallman has really taken over the lead caballo role for the New York Giants, so play him up there. Another sneaky play, Evan Ingram. If you're playing him in the playoffs, feel good about the fact that the Browns are number 27 against fantasy tight ends. So he's a possibility, even with Colt McCoy, who will be checking down and throwing some balls. So Ingram could be a play this week. I'm not expecting much from Sterling Shepard. It just hasn't been particularly the outlook doesn't look good because of the fact that Colt McCoy. All right, everybody, that's just todo for our show. Thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and for making our independent podcasts available to our familia community. I want to do a special thanks to my friend, my compadre, my carnal, Jesse Nunez. Find him at Jesse Hyperactive with no E on Twitter. And definitely make sure you're following Popfly XP on Twitter. So get the Titan 23 app and any others that they're going to be coming out with. Make sure you're subscribing to our podcast at Apple, Google, Spotify. Leave us a review at Apple if you can. Por favor, remember, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Familia FFB. You can find me at Jorge Martin 17, as well as our Familia FFB Facebook page. And don't forget to look for original content at FamiliaFFB.com. Wishing you guys all happy and healthy weekend. One more week till Christmas. Feliz Navidad, everybody. And remember, todos somos familia.